The Hog Talk Podcast is brought to you by Heinemann Services. Heinemann Services is a family-owned and operated business whose work ethic and customer service will restore your confidence in handymen. They offer interior and exterior projects for your home or business, including repairs, installations, small remodels, landscaping, decks, fencing, and much more. Call Corey and his crew today at 479-347-9336. That's 479-347-9336.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you could still be in on the action at betonline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
With us on the line is the voice of the Arkansas Razorback, Chuck Barrett.
A former guest of the show, Coach Mike Nabors from the Arkansas women's basketball team.
We have from ESPN's Around the Horn, highly questionable. Also a two-time Dan Le Batard Show Suey winner and a former heptathlete at Cornell, Sarah Spain.
And we are happy to be joined by Martrell Spate.
Mr. Phil Elson, the voice of Razorback Baseball and the Ladybacks.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna use the force on this one. 3, 2, 1. Yo, what is going on, Arkansas Razorback fans, SEC fans everywhere? Welcome to the Friday episode of the Hog Talk Podcast. I am the host on the Friday show, Ty Hudson. I'm gonna Han Solo this bad boy. It's gonna be just you and I. It's gonna be rather intimate. Looking forward to it. I hope you are too. We're giving away some sweet merch over on the Hog Talk Podcast Facebook page. You don't have to do this to be entered, but we'd really appreciate if you guys would like, share, everything you can do across all of social media with the Hog Talk Podcast. But to enter in on getting some sweet, sweet Hog Talk Podcast merch, all you got to do is predict the score in the amount of total yards you believe our defense will hold Ole Miss to. We're going to keep doing this all the way through kickoff. And again, you do this on our Facebook page. So go over there. If for whatever reason you don't already, go follow us. Again, you don't have to do that to be a part of this, but we'd like it if you'd follow us and share that post. That'd be great. But again, that's all you got to do. You just got to predict the score and the amount of total yards you believe the Razorback defense will hold Ole Miss's offense to. So again, you're going to win some HTP merch if you get it right. Pretty cool. It's a pretty neat little shirt. You can go check it out. Also, stick around for the second segment, which should be the final segment. Our own Kyle Sutherland will be interviewing Jordan Dollinger from the Believe in Everything Ole Miss pod. That'll be coming up next. So, also, here's the updates. Let's just knock this out. There's a lot. There's a lot going on here. Network changes once again coming for Arkansas. Ole Miss at Arkansas. They're gonna change channels. The game's gonna be on ESPN. No, excuse me, SEC Network instead of ESPN2 at 2:30. So be prepared for that. Again, that's tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, I'm recording it on Thursday at five p.m. But yeah, how about that? Again, back to back weeks. Arkansas's turning some heads, y'all. How about that? Arkansas starting center Ricky Stromberg makes the Remington Trophy watch list this week. The award is given to the nation's top center at the end of the year. Who's surprised that he's made this list? Not me. Kid has future NFL prospect written all over him. He has started at center all three games this year. Last year, he played 11 games at the guard position. How about some Razorback baseball recruiting news? This is big time. Maumelle High School 2024 right-handed pitcher Tag Andrews has committed to the Razorbacks. Andrews is currently – he's already ranked, even though he's 2024. Andrews is currently ranked And I believe this is according to Perfect Game, as the 40th ranked right-handed pitcher in his class, second overall in Arkansas. Out of Florida, Arkansas gets another commitment, 2023 third baseman Aiden Miller, 6'2", 200 pounds, commits to Arkansas. Miller is the second ranked third baseman. And third player overall in the 2023 class, according to Perfect Game. Will he make it onto campus? That's the question a lot of fans have already had about this commitment. Who knows? Heck of a third baseman, though. Again, 6'2", 200 pounds, Aiden Miller out of Florida. Excuse me, I just dropped my heavy pen that I use to jot notes down with. Arkansas basketball news. How about this? Arkansas lands Little Rock forward transfer Kamani Johnson, 6'7", 215 pounds, becoming their fourth transfer for the offseason. Johnson chose the Hogs over DePaul and St. John's. He averaged 11 points, but close to 7 rebounds per game, 2.2 assists, starting in 25 games for the Trojans last season. Let's move on over to football. I know this is what we're all here for. Rakeem Boyd took to Twitter, I guess, before he said anything to Sam Pittman, and he says, quote, "I'm back," or "he's back." He's back. How about that? That's what he says on Twitter. Also looks like, and this is coming from Sam Pittman, Hudson Henry could be available on Saturday. Hudson Henry missed last week against Auburn. He took a shot against Mississippi State. I think he had, what, like 4 catches and a touchdown in that bad boy. It's going to be nice to get him back. And we've seen a lot of Kern. We haven't seen Sutherland come out. That's, you know, he kind of, Sutherland wasn't the big 4-star prospect at tight end that Arkansas seems to be pretty good at getting. Or, you know, it seems like they're always in on these big-time tight ends or these kids that are ranked really high. And Sutherland wasn't that, but he turned some heads. And, you know, he's I don't know that he was ever projected to start or to make the two deep. But Sutherland was someone that if Hudson Henry didn't step up, I was kind of curious coming into the season if he would find his way onto the field. Who would have thought Kern would come out and end up being pretty good at the position? And we know Toll has been moved back and forth at the position. So it's going to be nice to get some depth back. And I do think Hudson Henry is your future at the position for now, if he can stay healthy. Also looks like both Treylon Burks and Mo Brown have participated in practice this week, pushing their status from questionable. I would argue that Mo Brown was probably doubtful coming into this week, to now probable. So not only are you going to get Rakeem Boyd back on offense, you're going to get, sounds like, Treylon Burks. And on defense, you're going to get Mo Brown. This is a big one. That's a good one. That's good. You got to get Mo Brown back. Nothing against Clark, who played, but Mo Brown is, I think he is all conference caliber. I think that's what he is. Like he's, who knows? Who knows where he goes after Arkansas, but it wouldn't shock me to see him get the opportunity at the next level. Okay, Arkansas Ole Miss. I know this is what everyone's here for. And Arkansas, well, it's odd. You're not favored to win according to the money or to the spread. Ole Miss is favored at 2.5 points, but Arkansas's favored according to ESPN's Football Power Index at 57.4%. That's a little confusing. Arkansas is going to have to deal with a very, very, very good offense. Year one, Lane Kiffin has that offense rocking and rolling. There's no doubt about that. The Rebels are going to visit Arkansas in Fayetteville this Saturday, coming off a 63-48 loss to the number 2 ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Lane Kiffin has had some COVID concerns. I think that's their first. Here's some things that he told the media this week. He says it's very difficult, and this is talking about injuries, not COVID. It's very difficult moving people around. Kiffin said we're beat up from a very high play count. Intense game against a great team on Saturday. So we're not in a great situation numbers-wise at all. And so there were some players that tested positive for COVID. And this is the first time this month, well, since the start of the season, that Ole Miss that the Ole Miss football team is dealing with a COVID-19 outbreak. Obviously, they're being a little candid on how many players, but according to the school-wide Ole Miss COVID-19 dashboard, which was updated, I think, Wednesday morning at around 9 a.m., that there were 19 active cases on campus. That's student cases, not athletes, but student cases. Again, that's 19 active COVID-19 cases across the entire Ole Miss student body. There were 4 new cases reported on Monday and then 2 on Tuesday. And I don't have Wednesday's report here, obviously, or Thursday's. So who knows where that's at. This is going to be a challenge for both teams. Again, you're still without some guys that with the Razorbacks were, again, Treylon Burks has participated. You don't know if he's 100%. You're still without Dorian Gerald. You're missing some pieces here and there. There were some rumors about Bumper Pool. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe if I don't know if he's good to go or not. It sounded like he was out. I talked to someone yesterday. I'm not going to say their name, but I talked to another media member who said, yeah, Bumper was out, but thought that might possibly could change by Saturday morning. They could make a change there, but I don't know. Doesn't sound very good that Bumper Pool is going to get to play. Levi Draper, who's a guy that has struggled making the two deep both at Oklahoma before he transferred here and then at Arkansas, is having shoulder surgery. It sounds like he could miss the entire year. Morgan was a little beat up a couple of weeks ago. He played last week. I guess he was a little banged up last week as well. But when are you not banged up, especially in this league? So you're not super healthy. But it sounds like the offense is coming together. If both Treylon Burks and Rakeem Boyd are good to go and you're getting Hudson Henry back, I hope that, you know, again, who knows if he's 100%. Who knows if any of these guys are 100%. I think Treylon Burks is close, but I think Rakeem Boyd is probably the healthiest among that group that I just mentioned. Here's the other question. A guy that's been healthy but hasn't contributed a darn thing has been Trey Knox. I don't know what's going on with Trey Knox. He's got the case of can't catch the ball-initis. He's dropping balls. So I'm not going to give you guys a prediction. I know that's something we've been doing here on the Friday show. But because I'm recording this Thursday before I have who I think will win. I don't have a score. And I'm not going to give that out until the Friday night show on the Pig Trail Network. So if you want to go be a part of that and find out who I pick, that'll be Friday night between, and because of my schedule here at the house, it's going to be between 5 p.m. and maybe 7 p.m., but more than likely around between 5 and 6 p.m. Friday night. If you haven't already, go subscribe, click the notification bell, and you'll be alerted. You're supposed to be alerted as soon as I go live. Make sure it has been unsubscribing people. I've had a couple people reach out and tell me they've had to resubscribe to the channel. So, again, that's the Pig Trail Network over on YouTube. Go check that out. And again, Friday night, I'll give you my prediction. Right now, I'm just gonna stay tight-lipped about it right now. All that being said, I think Arkansas in this game, I'm not saying anything that's groundbreaking or shocking, but the Razorbacks cannot afford another typical slow start on offense against this high-octane football team that is the Ole Miss Rebels. Now, defensively, they're terrible. Ole Miss is not good. You know, these guys, even though they put up 41 points through 3 games, they've given up nearly 52 points per game. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Arkansas's at 27, and in this day and age, if you're under 31, 32 points a game on defense, if that's what you're giving up, that's not bad if you're under that. Arkansas's under that by a few points. Ole Miss is way above it. Yeah, they've got some real issues on defense, on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a couple of guys that have performed pretty well. Sam Williams, linebacker, has 12 tackles. He's got a couple sacks on the year. 9 pass breakups. I think the Razorbacks have, like, what, 15, 14? So they're attacking the ball through the air a little bit better. There's just a lot of room for improvement. They have one. By the way, they have 1 pick on the year, too, which belongs to A.J. Finley, defensive back. There's just a lot wrong with their defense. And I'm sure injuries have definitely been a part of that. But the bright spot for Ole Miss is on offense, and it's Matt Corral. It's this entire offense. Corral, 1,080 yards. He's completed 67 out of 88 pass attempts. 76% passing on the year. 9 touchdowns, only 1 pick. He has been sacked 8 times for a total loss of 52 yards. Jerrion Ealy, 45 carries, 243 yards. He's rushing almost 5.5 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. Snoop Connor also has 4 touchdowns. He's averaging just south of 5 yards a carry. Matt Corral is mobile. He can get out of the pocket and do some damage. I'm telling you, man, this is I don't know what they have left. And again, some of these names I mentioned, they may not even play. Some of these guys, I don't know. Their third down efficiency is also not terrible, almost 56%. They're 4 out of 6 on fourth down. That's a almost 67% ratio on fourth down so far this year. You know, they're averaging, what, 380 through the air on offense? Again, it's just their biggest issue, without a doubt, is defense. They've been penalized through 3 games only 15 times for 145 yards. Like I say, only. I mean, you know, it's definitely still not great, but that's better than most. Again, you can't get off to a slow start. You got to bring your A game on offense. Defensively, you got to bring your A++ game. You cannot get off to a slow start, you know, and what we said last week, and I said this on the post game show, Monday's show, you see what can happen when the Arkansas run game becomes established. Like when they are set in and you've got somebody, anybody back there running the football and you're setting the outside edge, you're getting the north-south run game going, it opens this offense to new levels. Takes the pressure off Felipe Franks, right? Takes the pressure off. And I, by the way, I said the offensive line would be better this year. I didn't know it would be this much better. I think Franks, as far as pass blocking, has, in some cases, has had quite a bit of time. In a lot of cases, he's had quite a bit of time. So, and give him a clean pocket. Get the run game going. Felipe Franks, by the way, throwing 65%, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. Sacked only 7 times this year. And I think 2 or 3 of those are on him. It'd be nice if Burks isn't 100% that Traylon Smith gets it going again on the year. He's 41 carries, 167 yards, 4 yards a carry. Still no rushing touchdowns for anybody. Who would have thought we'd be saying that? 0 rushing touchdowns. None. Zip. Nada. Not a single rushing touchdown. You're averaging 2.4 yards a carry. Now, keep in mind, some of that's, you know, you got to keep into account the KJ Jefferson, the you know, letting him inside the 5 and trying to get something going there. And of course, he fumbled the football. But, you know, short yardage runs. Amonte Spivey, who's carried the ball a grand total of 4 times for 11 yards. Something else, Rakeem Boyd has ran the ball 19 times this year. His longest run from the line of scrimmage is 5 yards. He's averaging 2.6 yards per carry. And also, you know, obviously Felipe Franks. So when he runs, when he gets out of the pocket and he gets tackled for a loss, if the play doesn't result in a sack, that's part of the reason why those numbers are so low. But between your two backs, Traylon and Rakeem, you're averaging right under, right at around 3 yards a carry. And that's just not very good, guys. Again, the run game has got to get established. The run blocking up front has got to be better. And I'll say this, too. The two biggest surprises on offense for me, I mean, Felipe Franks has been a surprise, so maybe 3. Devion Warren and Mike Woods. How about that? Devion Warren, 10 catches, 223 yards. That's 22 yards per reception, and he has a 52-yard touchdown under his belt. 3 touchdowns. If I would have told you Devion Warren would be leading going into this game 4 in yardage through the air, 223 yards and 3 scores, you would have thought I was crazy. Mike Woods, 12 catches, 150 yards. Traylon Smith, 14 catches on the year, 113 yards. He's also, his only touchdown on the year is a passing touchdown. You have 7 passing touchdowns again on the year. Hudson Henry has caught the ball 4 times, 20 yards with a touchdown. He's got to be more involved. Tight ends have got to be more involved in the passing game. If you go back and watch some of Kendall Briles, some of his best offenses are when a tight end's able to kick loose, kind of sneak out on either a drag or an underneath route. And he's either the check down or he's the focal point of the offense. But regardless, when the tight end's involved in Kendall Briles' offenses, they're much better. Now, obviously, the run game matters. Special teams has got to be far, far, far better. I don't know that this is a game that comes down to special teams. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. We've got people that think this is going to be a low-scoring game, lower than people think, and that could be the case. And if that is the case, special teams are going to need to step up. If this thing gets out of hand and it's a shootout, yeah, you're still going to need to kick field goals. You're still going to need to get the extra point, for crying out loud. You're going to need to, you know, cover when you punt the football. Coverage downfield matters, and that's something else that's just been not good. This punt coverage team is just – the punt coverage has not been good this year. Yeah, some of the decisions, the penalties, the mistakes on special teams have got to come to an end. And I think a lot of you agree with that. So I think I got everything for this part, for this segment. Remember, next up, going to be Kyle. He's going to be interviewing Jordan Dollinger from the Believe in Everything Ole Miss pod. That's up next, a part of the Believe Network. By the way, I know you guys know, but how cool is it that we're a part of the Morning Rush podcast lineup? Isn't that neat? That is so cool. Go check out their content as well on hitthatline.com. You can follow them across social media by that name, Hit That Line. So go bother Ty Richardson and Tommy Kraft. Tell them the Hog Talk sent you. Go bother them on social media somewhere. Okay, next up, Kyle Sutherland. Woo Pig Suey. We'll see you guys next week. Go Hogs.
We're back on episode number 130 of the Hog Talk podcast, and joining me on the Workman's Travel Center hotline is Jordan Dollinger from the Believe in Everything Ole Miss podcast. And Jordan, first of all, thank you for joining me tonight, and go ahead and tell me a little bit what you do over there for your podcast.
Awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. So yeah, I do the Believe in Everything Ole Miss podcast, covering all Ole Miss sports right now, heavy into football. But yeah, I cover a little bit of everything, informational, kind of fun. Just like to kind of chat and talk about Ole Miss. I went there back in 13 to 17. So I was there during the very best and the very worst. So I have a very unique perspective and I love it. And I just cover all of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not trying to add salt to the wound, but I can imagine you were probably not a big fan of Arkansas at that time, considering 2015, I know 2014. But I was actually really scared of the one in 2016. I was shocked that we were actually able to get that stop on Chad Kelly. Santos Ramirez mm-hmm. really wasn't as consistent of a safety for us as we would have liked him to be. But you guys have gotten us back. I mean, 17, I guess, was the last win that we had in the SEC before Mississippi State a couple weeks ago. But you guys have certainly got the better hand in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I would say that Arkansas was never really like a rivalry that was of the most pressing. And then it very quickly became one because of all the really tight, close games. We were like, what is happening? Like, what is Arkansas doing? Like, why? We have so many other things to worry about. And then Arkansas is like adding another to the plate. So yes, it became a very quick, very impactful rivalry. I remember that my dad, when I graduated, I was like, you know, what gave you the most stress? And you would think he would be like, you know, it was Alabama, it was XYZ, but no, he was like, Arkansas really took some years off my life.
Yeah, so it was there. Fun. Yeah, there's been, and of course the two, I don't know if you remember in 2001, I know we were both pretty young, but the seven mm-hmm. overtime game, that was one yeah. of the first big ones mm-hmm. that I ever saw. I think that actually still before the LSU Texas A&M game in 2018, I guess it was, that was the longest game. And I think it actually mm-hmm. still is, but probably, I hope probably going to be a really good one this weekend. We expect it to be at least. A lot of people are thinking that it's going to be a shootout. Both offenses should have a really good game. But we'll start off by saying, you know, Florida and LSU, they canceled their matchup this weekend. They're supposed to be in Gainesville due to COVID protocol. Mm-hmm. And there has been a little bit of rumblings here and there with Nick Saban, as the news broke on Wednesday that he has come down down with COVID. And of course, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss played them last week. Lane has mentioned in a couple of conferences in the last few days that there are some concerns in Oxford. So what are you thinking of that heading into the game?
Yeah, that's definitely a little discouraging. The thing, you know, what you mentioned about Nick Saban, it primarily seems to be that maybe it's him and it's like on the staff side. And we haven't really heard anything about Alabama players, which is encouraging at first glance. But then now on the Ole Miss side, Lane has kind of made it seem like it's the players more so than the coaching staff. So that is a little worrisome, especially because he hasn't divulged to who those players are and how many there are. He's just said kind of vaguely that there's a few different positions that are a little up in the air at the moment, like not a lot of like depth in those positions. And those are the positions that are a little kind of up in the air. So it's discouraging because I would wish that he would just come out and say, yep, it's three people and it's the third string and it's, you know, or it's whatever, but that's not the case. And because he's not like readily available with that information, I'm a little bit worried. So it's really tough to kind of anticipate what, you know, is going to happen, what the score is going to look like, because I mean, are we talking Matt Corral? Are we talking, you know, people that get one or two touches on the ball? Are we talking, I mean, it could be really any of the defensive line because they're not going to do a whole lot anyway, but like what side of the ball are we talking? He's not really bringing that information to light, which is understandable. Of course, you know, he's not going to come out, you know, right off the bat and be like, oh, this is it. This is who everyone is. But to have that, all that uncertainty and not know, is it two people? Is it 20 people? What's kind of going on is a little worrisome. So I'm not exactly sure. I'm, as of right now, you know, it's still a go and we're playing, but I'm just a little, until I get that information of who it's going to be, I'm a little stressed.
And that's kind of how we've been on the Arkansas side with the injury front. It doesn't seem like, at least after the Georgia game. Now, of course, because of HIPAA regulations and stuff, we don't know of any of the players that have had it, but it seems like Arkansas as of right now has moved past that. And just the injury bug is killing them. Mm-hmm. Guys like Rakeem Boyd, Traylon Burks, Monteric Brown on the defensive side of the ball. Those are three key players that we are expecting to have all three back this week. I know you sort of touched on possible positions that could be missing, but in terms of actual injuries that we know, like maybe it's like an arm injury, knee injury, whatever, are there any of note for Ole Miss going in that we need to look out for?
As of right now, everybody that is starting last week, I believe, is starting this week as well. I don't know of any like really notable injuries. I know that I'm sure everyone's a little banged up, but as of right now, I think that everybody that was playing last week is going into this week, other than whoever is sitting out because of COVID related things. But we won't really know that until, I guess tomorrow, maybe, I don't know, like game time when everyone suits up. Like, I have no idea what Lane Kiffin is going to do, but as of right now, we're not so much. I know that Arkansas is like heavy on the injury. I know that you guys are just like, that's tough, I can imagine, but so far that's not what Ole Miss is dealing with. But I just hope that we're not dealing with like a huge COVID outbreak as well, because that's not just going to affect this game, that's going to affect a lot of games moving forward, and it's already so tough as we both know already with this schedule. So hopefully we're not losing a lot of people.
So I've heard this talked about a lot this week with you guys' offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby, being the brother-in-law of our offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles. Now, they both worked under Art at Baylor before that whole scandal went down there. Both had very successful careers on that staff. Jeff Lebby, of course, had two 1,000-yard rushers. It was very well known, ended up getting the offensive coordinator job for, I guess you could say, the quote-unquote national champions at UCF in 2018, depending on who you ask. Right. But with those two guys knowing each other so well, not just on a personal level, but especially a professional level, do you see this being more of like possibly, well, it's just a chess match between them, and then it could be, and I know we talked about at the beginning that it could be a shootout, and that's what a lot of people are expecting. But do you also feel that it might be one of those deals where they know each other so well that this turns into a low scoring game because of a defensive battle, because they know what each other, their tendencies are?
So I'm going to go with the first. I love my Rebels. I love them so much, but, and not to throw shade too soon, but I don't think that the Ole Miss-Arkansas game is going to be like a defensive battle. I think it's going to be more so on the offensive side, like you said. I think this is interesting that you mentioned this, because literally last week, everybody was on the Ole Miss did so well against Alabama train because Lane Kiffin had previously coached there and they knew all the signals and they da-da-da and they know how we work. And so it's kind of funny that now going into this week, it's like everyone's always connected, right? Yeah. But I think that it would be naive to say that there's no overlap. Like it's not, I don't know that it's going to really be super beneficial one way or the other, but I would lean more toward this being more an offensively dominating game. It's kind of tough though, because I hear what you're saying about that overlap. Like how can you not expect kind of it to go one way or the other? But I would assume that it would go more so on the offensive way. I don't know that even if the defense is equipped with that information, I don't know that that's going to be able to be like executed if that were the case. So I'm going to go on the high scoring offensive shootout side of the argument.
And see, I'm wondering if that's going to happen too, that it might be a little bit more low scoring, because my thinking is with how well Traylon Smith played last week in a backup role since Rakeem didn't travel to Auburn, and it's looking like you're going to have I feel very good about Rakeem coming back. I don't want to say that he is until, because as you said, you probably won't know until game time with our injuries or Ole Miss's. But I almost feel like Sam Pittman's going to try to play keep away with how great, you know, Ole Miss having the second best offense statistically in the nation, by far the best in the SEC. I wonder if Sam Pittman's just going to try to run the ball and milk some clock off to try to keep Matt Corral and that offense off the field.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that something that's going to be apparent and obvious is trying to keep the ball out of Matt Corral's hands. I think that that's going to be a big thing that they're going to try to do. I think that it's tough, because I can understand why it maybe would be a more low scoring game. But at this point, Ole Miss is putting up averaging like 41.5 points a game. So I don't know that this is necessarily going to be the game where that drops off. I know Arkansas is averaging just maybe a little under 20 points. So I do think that that's going to be higher this game, because I think that every opportunity that Arkansas has the ball, I think it's going to be really difficult for Ole Miss to stop that. Hmm. So I think that it's going to be, do I think it's going to be a 48-63? Do I think it's going to be in the 50s? Probably not. I think that it's going to be my prediction. I was thinking maybe like Ole Miss 41, Arkansas 35. That's kind of what I was thinking. But again, that could all change depending on who is playing. But I think it's going to be in that range. I don't think that it's going to really get any higher than that. But I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a low scoring game. Like, I don't think we're talking 13, you know, yeah, to 17, that sort of thing. I think it's going to be really just whose defense can kind of stop it at that. Like, I think it's going to go back and forth. I do, just from what I've seen from Arkansas so far, and especially their game last week, which was, I mean, incredible. Like, I watched the highlights from the game and it was fantastic. And, you know, the comeback and everything. And I just think that getting on a roll that way, that offensive kind of roll and that momentum, I think is going to carry. I don't think it's going to be the highest scoring game for either team thus far this season, but I do think it's going to be like kind of in that range.
I think one of the things, or actually the main thing that Arkansas fans are looking for, is not worrying too much about what happened at Auburn. The way that the Auburn game shook out, obviously we're all pretty a little upset about that. The players, you know, especially were afterwards. But I feel Sam Pittman's done a pretty good job of keeping them focused on the task at hand. I would imagine for Ole Miss fans, the concern is, wow, you just put up 50 points on Bama. I don't really remember. Maybe Oklahoma was the closest team in 2014, just off, or I guess Clemson, and the 2019 national championship. But basically, two teams in about 6-7 years have had that kind of offensive production against them. Is it your concern mainly that are they going to come out maybe a little flat just because they're so tired from that? Or do you feel that Lane Kiffin and his staff can do a really good job of keeping them at the pace that they're at, that they've been at?
I don't think they're going to come out flat. I think that they're definitely a little banged up. I'm sure it was not the easiest game by far, but I don't think they're going to come out banged up. I think that they are really encouraged from that game, even though it was a loss. I mean, there was a post-game interview where Kiffin was saying when he was leaving, you know, the players were encouraged, and mostly all of them were encouraged. And when he was leaving the stadium, I mean, the fans, it was like a standing ovation. And he was like, I'm so confused. Why are we getting a standing ovation? Like, we lost. But I think that everyone was so encouraged to see them play the way that they did. And even though it was a loss, I think that it was a really great showing. And I think that it kind of lights a fire under them to know that, you know, no matter what anyone says, it's discouraging the past couple of years when it's been, you know, a 63-3 blowout. Like, that's not encouraging for anyone. So I think it was super encouraging. I don't think they're going to come out flat by any means. I think that they're going to come out and do what they've been doing. I think that they're going to continue to do everything that has been proven successful thus far. I know at the beginning of the season, it was very up in the air. Everybody wasn't sure if it was going to be Matt Corral or John Rhys Plumlee that was going to start, kind of saying that Corral was, you know, going to be heavy on the passing game and Plumlee was the runner of the two. But so far, Corral's taken over that starting job, and he's been able to definitely get the ball through the air well. But he's also been able to pick up, you know, some rushing yards as well. I think the Alabama game, he was like the number two rusher, like, of anyone. So I think that they're going to continue to do what they've been doing. I think we're going to see some fun trick plays and some things like that. I don't think we're going to see Plumlee in the game. I think I think he kind of sealed his fate last week with he had one touch all game, which was not a fumble, but arguably could have been, depending on who you ask. So I don't think that we're going to see him. I think that we're going to stick with Matt Corral. I think that they're going to come out of the gate hot. I think that they want to prove that, you know, both teams at this point are 1-2. So I think that they really want that 2-2. Of course, everyone does. But yeah, I think that they're going to continue to do what has proven successful for them. And historically, Arkansas has really struggled with that kind of mobile quarterback. And I think last season it was a 31-17 loss. And Corral last season, last time they met, it was, 246 yards and two touchdowns. And then he picked up 60 yards on the ground. So that was the last time that they met last season. And Arkansas has definitely made some big strides, like you had mentioned, defensively. But I just think that I think that there's a mobile quarterback, and then you have quarterbacks like Matt Corral. And so I think it's still going to be heavy on the pass game, but I think that he's proven that he's able to also run if he needs to. And I think that that is where it's probably going to be most difficult for Arkansas in that specifically. But I think they're going to come out and do what they've been doing. And I think that they're going to be successful in what they've been doing so far.
And talking about Matt Corral, you look at him, Jerry and Ely, Elijah Moore, Kenny Yeboah. Is it Kenny Yeboah, how you pronounce his name?
Yeboah.
Yeah. So those are some guys that jump out to you offensively. There's a couple more names you could mention, but is there anybody else that has contributed that I might have missed or that you expect to? We're almost halfway to the season, that you expect to continue to make strides and help this offense even more?
Yeah, so I think that Jonathan Mingo and Dontario Drummond are another two names that are important to note. I think that they are going to get more touches on the ball as the season continues. I think that it's kind of one of those things right now where you have your standouts, but it is obviously so early on in the season. So I think that those are definitely two important names that, like, are going to be playmakers. I just think that if something's not broken, then you shouldn't fix it. Like, if Matt Corral is clicking, you know, with Elijah Moore, which he is, with Kenny Yeboah, which he is, if Ely and Snoop are doing what they need to do, I think that until something proves that it's a little bit off, then you stick with what works. And I think that those two, I think that Mingo and Drummond are definitely going to be important. I think it's so early on that what is working right now is what is working. But I definitely think that those are going to be two names to look out for, because I know that they're extremely talented and they're going to do really well.
All right, Jordan, last thing, I got to put you on the spot here as we close out. So if you feel comfortable with it, I want you to give your prediction of what you think it's going to, how you think this game will be at the end.
Yeah, I think if this, I hate to put it all on Matt Corral, because I know that there's a lot more to the team than just him, but assuming that Matt Corral plays, I think we're looking at like a 41-35 Ole Miss taking the win. If for some reason he ends up being one of the people that's on that COVID list, which we really hope not, but let's say that he is, I think it's going to be a little bit different. I think that we might be looking at maybe like a 35-28, maybe Ole Miss. I'm still going to go with Ole Miss for the win, but I think that we're going to produce a lot more points with Corral. So hopefully he's not one of the people that won't be playing, but I think it's somewhere in that range. I think the over-under I've been seeing is kind of like a 75-77 deal. I'm going to go with under on the game in general. So kind of right about in that range.
Yeah, I think actually I don't have my prediction right in front of me, but I want to say mine was 41-38 Ole Miss. I just can't pick Arkansas yet. And fans give me grief all the time because they're just like, you're never – look, man, I'm not saying that because I do research that I'm going to be right, but you look at our special teams, that's what I keep falling back on. Last week against Auburn, if you would have had your 3 points that you missed out on the two, well, you missed out on 2 2-point conversions, but it all started because you didn't hit the extra point because of mishaps and on not just on extra point, but on the punt team, punt coverage. It's all the way around. And so, yeah, I just can't pick Arkansas until they prove to me that I can. They did against Mississippi State, but I do think Ole Miss is going to be a little bit more of an animal than that. So, but Jordan,
it was going to be, I think it's going to be a good game regardless. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think that, like you said, I think that both teams have things to work on, but I do think it's going to be a really fun game because it's a fun little matchup, a little rivalry for sure. So I think that it's going to be one that everyone wants to tune into.
Well, I certainly wish you guys luck the rest of the year, except for this week, as we always tell when we do a cross pod with somebody. It's all in fun. But Jordan, it was great talking with you. Really appreciate you hopping on. And again, after this week, best of luck to you guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
And that will do it for this segment. Stay tuned for the last segment. Porter will be doing his weekly Arkansas Women's Sports Report right after this message. We will see you later. Take care.
Located in Fayetteville, Rapology is your top spot for banners, signs, and wraps. From commercial fleet wraps, color changes, vinyl decals, and much more, they take care of you in a timely and professional manner. Call Rapology today at 479-368-6490. Again, that's 479-368-6490.
Welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast, where it is our time for the weekly women's sports report. We've moved to the Monday show, and man, we have a lot of great new topics to cover. Before we begin, we are presented by 1010 Sports Performance Training in Harrison, Arkansas. We're going to start you with the women's basketball team, where a pair of former Lady Backs signed to play professional ball overseas. Raven Northcross Baker signed a deal with KBF Velizenimi in Kosovo, and Alexis Tolfrey also signed with KBF Pristina on the 4th. The Razorbacks cross-country team led by Lauren Gregory picked up a team title at the Gans Creek Classic in Columbia, Missouri. Gregory placed second overall with a time of 20 minutes and 6 seconds. The Razorbacks ran away from the field picking up the 2-9 spots. Coach Lance Harder praised the team for calling it a total team effort and having everyone on the line for the first time this season. Up next, they head to College Station, Texas for the Arturo Barrios Classic before the SEC Championships in Baton Rouge. The Arkansas women's golf team had an exceptional weekend where they swept all the awards for the first time ever. It was the first Blessings Collegiate Invitational. They won the team combined alongside the men's golf team. Also, Brooke Matthews won the individual medley and the combined individual courtesy of Matthews and Julian Perico. The win gave Coach Shauna Taylor her first regular season win since the spring of 2018. And up next, the golf team travels to Old Waverly Golf Club in Starkville for the Alley at Old Waverly on October 19th through the 21st. The women's soccer team had a huge matchup last week against 5th-ranked Texas A&M, and they came away with a 2-1 victory. The Razorbacks now have won 3 straight over Texas A&M, with 2 of those victories being when A&M was nationally ranked. Arkansas is 21-2 at home since 2018 and have taken down 2 top 5 clubs in that time frame. Parker Goins got on the ball when she put a ball past the defender after a cross from Anna Potagil. And in the 53rd minute, Kayla McKeon, tapped one home for her first goal of the season. The Lady Backs are playing today in Tuscaloosa as we are recording against the 15th-ranked Crimson Tide. Stay tuned as we'll have full details of the game on next week's edition. And Friday the 16th, they host South Carolina with first kick at 7 p.m. The volleyball team will finally return to action as they travel to Starkville to take on the Lady Bulldogs. They will play two games in the weekend, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. And that will do it for another weekly women's sports report presented to you by 1010 Sports Performance Training. Be sure to tune in every Monday now as we give you all the details and everything going on in women's sports up on the hill. Woo pig.